Good morning. It's Patty in Florida.
Hi, Patty. Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Crystal R. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Thursday, June 6, 2024. This is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You Big Book meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter There's a Solution on page 23, the fourth paragraph, beginning with The Tragic Truth is That, reading through that one paragraph ending with Every Case Long Before It Is Suspected. Today's readers are Julie B. for the 12 Steps, Carol B. for the 12 Traditions, Abby D. will be reading the text, Elsie M. will read page 164, and Martha Z. will be our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter will be Toby W., and our second hour host will be Nancy C. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, June 5th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,464, 21464, and for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,465, 21465. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Julie B. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Julie B., recovering compulsive overeater in Ohio. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and, when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service. I'm Julie B. I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie B. I will now ask Carol B. to read the 12 traditions.
Hi, this is Carol B. in Toronto, Canada, the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Have a peaceful day, everyone. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Carol B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter There is a Solution on page 23, the fourth paragraph, which begins with, "The tragic truth is that," and ends with, "every case long before it is suspected." We will be commenting on that one paragraph. I will now ask Abby D. to begin reading.
Hello, good morning. This is Abby D. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, bulimic in Michigan. The tragic truth is that if a man be a real alcoholic, the happy day may not arrive. He has lost control. At a certain point in the drinking of every alcoholic, he passes into a state where the most powerful desire to stop drinking is of absolutely no avail. This tragic situation has already arrived in practically every case long before it is suspected. And this reminds me of a relapse I had. It was, I did start having that feeling of I can control it this time. These ideas, they sneak in, and that's one of the scariest parts of this disease, and it is tragic that these ideas start to come in that I can control it this time, and it's not that, like, I don't have this, or, even after being in OA for years and being through the steps and sponsoring, I mean, there was a lapse in my connection with God, and I remember taking the first bite after all these ideas were in my mind for quite some time, and I reached a point where I realized I could not stop even though I wanted to. And it was a terrifying place to be. I was calling around frantically to, like, like psychologist offices, like to get an appointment for therapy. And I just remember like grasping desperately at like, what is going on? Why can't I stop? And I remember feeling like it was like a demon inside of me. Like I don't want to be eating, but I can't stop, and I can't live this way, but I can't live without. And that's a terrifying place to be, to have this feeling of like, I am in the midst of something that I can't stop. And it took some hard work and trust in God and belief in the program and trust in the people that were recovered in this program to follow what they said. And luckily we're in the chapter, There Is a Solution. And so I can say now, you know, that has passed. And I worked the steps like my life was on fire, because it was. And it was important for me to reach that place, because in that place of desperation, I was catapulted into, I will do absolutely anything that I'm told, because I have no other solution. And if this is the solution, I will do anything for that. And that was really important. And, you know, it's been it's been like 5.5 years since then. And I've had times in this 5.5 years where I get these ideas again of like, you know, I'm not, for whatever reason, like they come, and it's scary, but I know that those pass. And if I trust in God and I trust in this program and I'm honest with my fellows about what's going on, those times, thank God, they pass. And I'm just grateful to be here today with this tragic disease, but a beautiful solution. And I'm grateful to have that knowing that I'm powerless over this. Because if I'm powerless over it, I stop trying to run the show, and I trust in God and my fellows and the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous to get me through it. So thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Abby D, for getting us started. We are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to approximately 3 minutes to allow as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when you're at 3 minutes, so please wrap up your share as best you can. Who would like to share today?
Katie D. from Boston. Diane M. from Massachusetts.
Tom A. from Maryland.
Rivka M. Maryland.
Vasa O.
All right, here's who I heard. I've got Katie G., Diane M., Tom A., Rivka M., and Vasa O. Is there anybody else who would like to share? All right, so let's get started with that list. If I can ask everyone to please give me your first name, the initial of your last name, and location when you share, so we can find you on the member list. And if everyone can please press star 1 to mute your line, we'll get started with Katie G, followed by Diane M.
Good morning, Crystal. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, my friends. This is Katie G, and I'm recovered in Boston. I find it really important that Bill said the word tragic twice. So tragic means disastrous, catastrophic, awful, and deadly. And what is deadly? That the most powerful desire to stop is of absolutely, which means completely, totally, and utterly no avail, which means help, benefit, assist, right? So I can desire, which means to long, or wish for, or want. I can desire my children. I love my children. And if you talk to me, you know that. You know how hard I worked with God to have these children, and you know how much I cherish them. But a couple years ago, when I was underweight and I needed to get on the Peloton bike, it didn't matter. They didn't matter. And it's not because I'm a bad person. It's because I have this horrible disease. And a lot of times I used to say I chose to go back to the food. But what I didn't realize is that the tragic situation has already arrived in practically every case before it is suspected. And I have no power, I have no choice, here you go, baby, and no control around taking that first bite. I can't. The most powerful desire, children, husbands, everything, it doesn't matter. And today, the most powerful desire to stop my character defects is of absolutely no avail. I'm recovered today, thanks be to God, and I can use the proper use of my will to abstain from flour and sugar. And for me, I weigh and measure my food, and I weigh and measure my exercise, right? But the most powerful desire to stop controlling, the most powerful desire to stop being angry, the most powerful desire, these things, they don't matter. I have no power, no choice, and no control. But what I do have is a power greater than me that restores me to sanity every single day if I choose to do the work. And my work every day, thanks be to God, is staying abstinent and doing the steps and staying in the steps and helping others, seeing where I'm wrong, promptly admitting it, and helping others. And that is the good news that this book carries. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Katie G. from Boston. Next, we've got Diane M., followed by Tom A.
Hi, this is Diane M. from Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, recovered. I was looking at this, the tragic truth. The happy day may never arrive. I can remember just sitting on the couch and thinking, is this going to be my life? I just cannot believe that I can't stop eating. I have this life. I'm a smart person. I'm this, I'm that. How could this possibly be, you know, that I have lost control? I've been in program for almost 40 years in varying different ways of weighing and measuring and not weighing and measuring, and had been in relapse for a while. And I just was struggling with the fact that I just can't believe. And the fact that the day may never come was a turning point for me. And I remember sitting on the couch, and I just was like, I'm sitting on the couch. I picked up the phone. I called someone, and they said, well, can you do this one assignment? And I was like, maybe. I have no credibility. At this point, you know, I was just so desperate. And because I knew that I had passed into that, you know, situation, that tragic situation had already arrived, that I could not on my own. And so I was given directions and instructions. And all of a sudden, not so much all of a sudden, but I started to just take action and take suggestions and move ahead. And I kept surprising myself every day. I would do my homework, do the step work. And it's been almost 6 months now, and I'm just so grateful. I'm just so grateful that the day arrived where I had the willingness to take the action that was needed to do that, and at this point now take the action to pick up the phone and start to talk at meetings. I'm ready to sponsor. I'm really looking forward to continuing to move forward from the tragedy of what this disease has been in my life. So thank you so much for taking the meeting. And that's it. This is Diane in Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diane M. from Massachusetts. Next, we've got Tom A., followed by Rivka M.
morning. Thank you for your service. Tom A., recovered compulsive eater in Maryland. And a couple of things struck me about the reading. One, the illusion that the happy day will come, that I can figure it out and I can do it myself. And as the book says, some of us engage in that illusion to death and insanity. And for me, bottom was having lost 80 pounds 3 different times and gained it back and realizing it was time to go lose another 80 pounds. And having gone to AA and learned about the phenomenon of craving and learning I had no choice about alcohol, I began to see that alcohol and sugar were the same for me, that they were poison, and I had no choice. And I also emotionally knew that I would tell myself I just couldn't stomach another diet. You know, here I am blowing up for my eating. It was I just couldn't bring myself to think about the shame and the humiliation of gaining and losing 80 pounds one more time. And that was enough desperation to get me here. But it wasn't enough desperation to make me completely willing. I was partially willing. I would say for years that I was 90% willing. But I wanted to hold on to the right to have this food every once in a while or this right. I finally got a sponsor who convinced me that vagueness was not my friend. That I was just wasting mental and emotional energy and spiritual energy, and that what I needed was a complete surrender. That's what the 12 and 12 talks about, the willingness. And so for me, it's a grace, it's a gift to be abstinent. My job is to be willing. I had a sponsor who used to tell me that willingness without action was fantasy. And sometimes I just want to let God do all the work. My job is to, when I have a thought, take it to God. It says we pause when agitated or we have a compulsive thought. That pause is to turn to my higher power and ask for help. When I don't do that, I think I become self-reliant again and I'm in trouble. So I'm grateful to be here and thank you so much for this meeting.
Thank you so much, Tom A. from Maryland. Next, we've got Rivka M., followed by Vasa O.
Yeah, hi, this is Rivka M., a compulsive overeater from Maryland. Can you hear me?
You can be heard.
Okay, great. This paragraph was just really powerful for me. And I apologize for the repetitiveness of it, but there were like 3 concepts that just struck me. And just, you know, when it was talking about that tragic, the death that would come from it, you know, I know I can't do this by myself. I remember that feeling, you know, and I have to try to remember that feeling of that powerlessness. Because if I try to do it by myself, I know that it's going to end in death. I know that I can't do it myself. I just don't have the control. I don't have that power, and it's such a horrible feeling. But it also makes me realize how grateful I need to be for being here and how grateful I need to be to God who got me here. You know, and the difference of when I'm trying to do it on my own and that powerlessness, and when I'm doing it with God, and that power that's so clearly not from me, is such a strong difference, and I just have to be so grateful for it. And then the third thing that just struck me from that is, it also reminds me that I can't fix somebody else. You know, the tragic day could come for them. I can't fix them. I can try. It could be of service, and I need to be. I really do need to remember that my main focus has to be to stay in recovery, has to be to continue on a path with growing with God, because that's the only thing that, The only way to help somebody else is to make sure that I'm staying in my own recovery and just work at it constantly. And it's hard, you know. It doesn't get easier. It's simple instructions, but still hard. But I know that that's something that I have to continue to do. And when I feel myself starting not to, I just have to remember that powerlessness and, you know, what the other option is, and how that could just end in that tragic death. Because if I don't stay with God, I can't do it, and I can't do it on my own. And that's where it would lead to. So anyway, again, Rivka M. from Maryland, and thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Rivka M. from Maryland. Next, we've got Vasa O., and I'll be taking a few more names.
Thank you. I believe it's Crystal that's sharing the meeting.
Yes.
Thank you for your service and everybody's service, everybody shares. And I cannot downvibe so much with every one of you. But anyways, I'm Vasa, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And this is where I was before I came to the program. I had lost all the control, all the power. There was nothing left for me, and I just gave in to the food addiction because with everything I tried, it just did not work. It would work for a little bit, but I always went back to the food. And I have seen the tragedies in my family, and I've seen the tragedies in the program with people that have gone back to the food addictions. And it's just so sad, you know. But again, for myself, there was nothing more left for me to do. This was the only thing. And I was so grateful to find out it was a disease. You know, I was born with it or whatever it happened. And there was a solution for it. I'm grateful my Abby, the 12-stepped me for about a week and told me about the program. I never heard of it before. I did hear about it years ago in Dear Abby. There was a program for Overeaters Anonymous, but I thought I needed to be really obese. And I probably struggled with maybe 10 or 15 pounds by then. I didn't need it. I'd go to the Weight Watchers, or I would do this and that to control it. None of that stuff worked until I came to the program and I was ready to surrender. That's what I was told. I need to surrender to a power greater than myself and follow the steps. And it's like part-time job for me doing what I'm doing over the years. But I never left the program. This is the only thing has worked. And I remember when I surrendered to God, I said, God, I put myself into your hands and the food addiction and my husband, but I could not surrender my kids. I love my kids so much. And they were number one in my life. And that's okay. They're children. They needed their mother. But I was also struggling with the food addiction. I have learned how to put my kids in God's hands too over the years by working the steps, working the tools, and going to meetings like this. I love this meeting, the Vision for You. I started with the Big Book, but I had it like maybe once a week or once in a while, but this is every day. We are so blessed, one paragraph at a time. My mind doesn't retain very much, so that's why I love this meeting, and I need to be reminded. I need to keep coming to be doing what's been working all these years. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Vasa. All right, so before we continue, let me remind everyone where we're at. We're in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter There's a Solution on page 23, the fourth paragraph. That begins with, the tragic truth is that, reading through that one paragraph ending with, every case long before it is suspected, and we are commenting on that one paragraph. I'll now take another set of names. If you haven't shared in the last few days, we'd love to hear from you. Who would like to share?
Rivka R. from Baltimore.
Lily
Maya
P.
Maya K. from New York.
Lorian K.
I heard Rivka R. Maya I think Darian K, Michelle R, I heard, and there's one more person I missed.
Melanie P from Montreal.
Melanie P from Montreal, perfect. Did I get everybody else's names right? Rifka R, Maya K, Darian K, Michelle R, and Melanie P.
Felicia,
Yeah, I've got Maura Z and someone from Rhode Island.
Felicia D.
Felicia D. Okay, let's stop over there. Thank you so much, everyone. Here's who I've got. I've got Rivka R, Maya K, Darian K, Michelle R, Melanie P, Maura Z, and Felicia D. So please do give us your first name, the initial of your last name, and your location when you share, so we can find you on the member list. And if I can ask everybody to please press star 1 to mute your line, we'll begin with Rivka R, followed by Maya K.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much, Crystal, for your service. This is Rivka R, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. So, where the most powerful desire to stop drinking is absolutely no avail. So I don't think I ever had a powerful desire to stop compulsively overeating. What I did have was the most powerful desire to be thin. from the time I was little. And for what it meant. I mean, when I, meant being thin meant to be beautiful, to be loved, to be wanted, to be valid, to be successful. I mean, I remember it. At the age of 9, looking at, these pictures of myself in a bathing suit and taking pens and like, coloring the sides of my legs to make them look thinner. And I did everything possible to achieve my goal. I mean, all the diets, all the craziness, and to absolutely no avail. Like, in the face of my absolute, complete, and powerful desire to be thin, there was nothing I could do about it. And that was a tragic way to live. It was impossible. It was hopeless, this painful prison of never being free of my obsession to eat and my obsession to be thin at the same time. Like, it was that's tragic. And it was something that was operative in me from very, very early on. And thank God for program. And seeing, I see life so simply now. Like, there's what's life enhancing, I surrender to God and God's will for me, and that leads me to freedom and joy and connection. And there's what's life diminishing, like crushing, And that's if I, God forbid, surrender to this disease and what it tells me, how to think and how to behave. I mean, it's a crazy, chaotic way to live. So, anyway, I'm just so grateful and thankful to all of you for being there on this journey with me, because no one gets it and no one understands like we do what this means to live in that prison and what it means to have the key to be free and to actually step into that place of freedom and connection. So have a great day, everyone. I pass.
Thank you so much, Rivka R. from Baltimore. Next, I've got Maya K., followed by Darian K.
Hi, this is Maya K from New York, spelled M-A-I-J-A. Good spelling. I'm in recovery from compulsive overeating and bulimia. And this paragraph, the word tragic, definitely stands out for me. It just brought me back to when I was 20, and I was at a summer camp, and I couldn't stop eating. Sugar, drinking, and I was eating the kids' food, sleepaway camp, and I felt like a total freak, and everybody there was an athlete, and I was a musician, and I think I had gained 30 pounds in a month that I had starved off in college, and I couldn't stop, and it felt like nothing could help me, and it was tragic, and I ended up quitting, because I just didn't know what to do. I had no answers. And I remember my mom picking me up and getting angry at me and saying, well, you better get some freaking help. and I had no help, and I didn't even care that I didn't get paid. I just wanted to die because I had weighed myself and wanted to die, and had, you know, gained weight back again. And somebody gave me a book about OA, somebody's story, how strange. And I just started going to meetings. And thank God, you know, it didn't cost money. And I just remember them saying, put the blinders on. And I just immersed myself. And it just seems to be the only solution that's ever worked. Even when I've gone out of meetings and thought, oh, this is an easier way, or this has worked before, it never lasts. And always, you know, it's 30 years later, it's the only thing that's ever worked. It is the easiest way, the most sustainable. And the more I surrender to the things I know work in OA, the happier I am, and the better I feel, and the stronger my recovery is. And I'm so grateful for that because, you know, I went through all the books and the pills and even hospitals that were not 12-step. I thought that I could cure it with my mind. And the spiritual aspect, I don't know what it is. The healing, in a way, is just something different. There's something different about it that has just sustained me and kept me alive, really. And I'm just grateful to be in this program and have found it and that it exists. So thank you for letting me be here and share. And I hope everyone has a great day.
Thanks so much, Maya K. Next, we've got Darian K., followed by Michelle R.
Oh, good morning, Crystal. This is Darian K. I'm in the Berkshires in Massachusetts. I'm very grateful to be on the line with you. With you all, my fellows, my peeps, the people that understand me. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God, I found you. Because I felt so alone when I was younger. I had no idea why the food was so important to me and so and why I needed to be on diet after diet. You know, my mom was always on a diet, so when I was old enough, I joined with her, you know, and then my sister did. And the three of us made minimal attempts at these diets. But I don't recall any success because they were too hard. They were too hard. They were too much effort, too much uncomfortability, just too much work. And that's a four-letter word, too. And, you know, I just, I love what someone said about willingness without action is fantasy. I love that. I had some willingness to do what I needed to do, to take that food plan home, because that's all we had, right? That's it. Take this food plan, do it by yourself, and then come back in a week. And we'll either, you know, ring the bell or, you know, humiliate you. And then you pay me money. You pay us money to do that. So crazy. And so I just, I'm just so grateful that I found out that it's not a moral issue that I have this disease, bottom line, you know, and that the most natural thing that I want to do is eat because that's just who I am. So the unnatural thing to do is to not eat. And to not pick up the food. And how do I get that? If there's a natural occurrence in me to want to, it's through a spiritual rearrangement of how I think and how I operate and what I do every day to just turn over my will and my life to God. And I don't see him. I don't touch him. I can't feel him. You know, the evidence is not as clear as I'd like it to be in regard to like visually knowing that God is out there, but I can look back in that rear view mirror and see all the ways that I've been carried through various situations in my life over the past 36, 7 years, and just know that God is with me. Started with the food, but it surely doesn't end there. There's so much more, and I'm so grateful. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks so much, Darian K. from Massachusetts. Next, we've got Michelle R., followed by Melanie P.
Good morning. This is Michelle M. from Oklahoma, a recovering bulimic. You know, there are no accidents because I was really thinking about the rearview mirror as we were reading this. I am back 6 months abstinent after like an 11-year relapse, and where I had nine years of abstinence. And my tragedy today is it was all of my own making. This was all of my own making. And I can see, you know, in retrospect, how the relapse got set up. And it was in motion long before I took that first bite. And it doesn't matter what was going on. It happened. And it has taken me a long time to get back here. And my tragedy in this current situation was I spent so much time obsessed with looking in the rearview mirror, wondering how I was going to change my path. Because if I could change my path, then I would be okay. And, you know, sitting here today saying it, it is insane. It is crazy. But I have had this all my life, wanting to change my path. So I would eat and eat and eat and binge and purge, obsessed with changing my path. Well, you know, my present caught up with me in a lot of ways. And, you know, the loving hand of God is there. It never goes away. The opportunity to build a relationship with a power greater than myself is 24/7. But I finally got beaten down to a point where I was walking my dog and I was thinking to myself, you know, here I am in Tulsa, no family, I'm pretty much isolated, binging and purging, walking my dog and working at home. That's my life. Is that okay? And I said, yes. And then circumstance got me, and one more tooth gone, and that was the turning point for me where I had had enough, and I knew that God speaks to me through my dentist. But after I had the surgery, I got in the car, called somebody I knew, and I said, I am completely flat on the ground, and that started me on this new journey, and it is amazing to me after decades in another program with these 12 steps how food is my primary addiction.
Time,
and
please.
Reading this, thank you for letting me share.
All right, thanks so much, Michelle M. from Oklahoma. Next, we've got Melanie P., followed by Moira Z.
Hi, my name is Melanie P., I'm from Montreal, Canada. This paragraph is really helping me this morning to realize that I thought a long, long, long time that I was able to fix myself with this problem. And when I arrived in the program in 1993, it took me 3 years to be abstinent. And it didn't stay because I wasn't working the program of action. And I thought I was powerful. And I relapsed, and the next relapse stayed 15 years. And I tried so hard to fix myself and find a solution. And I tried a lot of things. And this is the paragraph telling me that I'm lost. I'm lost by myself. I have no choice. I lost this choice a long, long time ago. And, you know, the last 1 or 2 days, I feel like I'm arrived and everything is perfect in my life. I have no problem, no resentment, but I'm not arrived. And this morning, I just thought, Let's do a vision for you meeting in this paragraph. We are reading this paragraph, so this program is really spiritual, as my sponsor always say to me. And yes, because I need to remember, I'm not there yet, and I will never be. And my only chance to recover from this disease is my power to connect to this power that I name God. And this is the only one who can help me to stay abstinent. And today I understand that the most important thing is not to be abstinent. Yes, it's important. But the most of the most of the most is this connection with this power, because I have no choice. I lost this choice to pick up or not. So that's what I wanted to say and share. And I'm really grateful for all the service for this meeting. And I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Melanie P. from Montreal. Next, we've got Moira Z, followed by Felicia D.
Thank you. Is it Crystal, the moderator, this morning?
Yep.
Thank you, Crystal, for your service and taking the meeting. This is Moira Z, and I'm gratefully recovering in Virginia this morning. At a certain point in the drinking of every alcoholic, he passes into a state where the most powerful desire to stop drinking is of absolutely no avail. I've been there more than once. I'm grateful for being there, because that brings on desperation. And desperation is where I am today. I'm desperate to put down the food. I'm grateful to have about, I don't know, maybe a week. I'm not counting days. But this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where I come to the realization that I, by myself, I am powerless to stop this disease. I am powerless to put down the food. I am in need of a power greater than myself. This tragic situation has already arrived in practically every case long before it is suspected. I have no doubt of that, because I lived in denial for many years. And I lived in denial in this last relapse, denying that I was in relapse. This is a very cunning and baffling disease. It does not want me to take over and say enough is enough. It wants me to keep going in the disease. And I'm so grateful today that I don't have to keep going in the disease. I can keep going in abstinence and in recovery, working steps, listening to this meeting. This meeting is manna from heaven. It is what gives me another boost in the arm every morning to keep going and keep doing what I need to do, and to find my way to God and allow Him to do what He can do for me, because there are things I cannot do for myself. And I have to remember that I am powerless through and through, but He has all power. And like the book says, I think I'll let Him. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Crystal.
Thank you so much, Moira Z from Virginia. Next, we've got Felicia D, and we might have time for one or two more questions.
Thank you so much. This is Felicia D. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. So the tragic truth for me was that I definitely was never able to rise from my lethargy and assert my power of will when it comes to food. And for me, when it comes to my character defects, I have lost the power of control, and it happened long before I suspected it. The most powerful desire to stop eating was definitely of no avail. The paranoia, the terror that I was killing myself, none of it mattered. The fact that, you know, I had a little kid at home that I was endangering my life and endangering who was going to take care of her couldn't stop me. And actually, the more that I thought about that, the more that I would eat over it. I desperately need this program and to remember that it is a God-based program and that I don't have the power. This week I am off the beam and I am really struggling with facing the powerlessness of my defects and that I can't manage them and I don't have the power. I thought I was past that, but it seems to be coming up as a struggle for me. So much like the food, I have to realize that, you know, the solution is God and that's where I need to be. So grateful for this meeting. I remember coming in early on and being here and having moderate success and then going out thinking it would be, you know, for an hour or a day, and I was gone for 20 years and came back in 2020 and have had periods of success and periods of relapse. But it's that I never had any intention of leaving for 20 years. I didn't realize that I was powerless. I didn't realize that I couldn't manage my relapses, and thinking that somehow there was control even within that, that the obsession was loud and I would just eat so that I could just come back and be clean. It was like this really weird, twisted thing. I'm so grateful that today that that's not where I'm at. But I just need to claim that I don't like being human. I find it painful. And I am grateful that God will help me to get over myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Felicia D. from Rhode Island. We have time for maybe two-minute shares. Who would like to share?
Karen W.
Donna M.
All right, we've got Karen W. and Donna M. If you can both take 2 minutes each, that would be great. Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, this is Karen W., compulsive overeater from Texas. And I'm recently back from a relapse. It was a short one. And I just thank A Vision for You and all the support that I get from this program. Because, you know, it was tragic. I fell off the cliff, face planted in the food. And, you know, I was back where I was when I first came in before. And more so, you know, the bags and boxes, I just disappeared quickly and I had no control over it. And it was because I lost the power, my close connection with God. And plus, you know, dropping off daily things that I should be doing, either reading my daily readers or meditation or something, you know, I thought, oh, I don't even need to do that. I cannot listen to my brain because I'm in denial, delusion, illusion. I'm insane and I need to do what is suggested and just stick on that path and not listen to what my brain tells me, because it gets me in trouble every time my thinking is skewed. So I thank you, Vision, from the bottom of my heart. I love you all. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen W. from Texas. And finally, we've got Donna M. from Toronto.
Hi, I'm Donna M. from near Toronto, Ontario, Canada. This part about tragedy, I used to think that tragedy was weight. And the tragedy would be that I would be binging. And that is certainly a tragedy. But today I understand this tragedy as the spiritual malady. And that is being so self-absorbed. You know, the tragedy for me when I was out would be that I, the four horsemen, terror, bewilderment, despair, and I can't remember the other one, but I would be in this, the self-imposed prison of isolation. And then I came to see another tragedy, that I would remain unrecovered in the rooms and sometimes delusional that I was in recovery. And I had to see that I was the real compulsive overeater, that it wasn't just about putting down flour and sugar. but it was about those eating behaviors that were giving me an effect, and that as long as I continued to indulge in those, I would be blocked from my higher power. And today, I am grateful to have 4+ years of recovery and to be able to help others know that this is a tragedy, that they are the real alcoholics and they need to take the program of action through the steps and to have that relationship with a higher power. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna M. from New Toronto. That's all the time we have for sharing. Thank you to everyone who shared and to Team Thursday for your service. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, June the 6th, 2024, is 21,467, 21467. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Elsie M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, so to keep you until then. Elsie, please press *1 to unmute. Maybe Martha Z, would you be able to, our backup reader, would you be able to read page 164 for us?
Sure. Good morning, Crystal. Thank you for your loving service. This is Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.